أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وموالاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has encouraged us to study Islam in an academic way and in going through all the different issues that come in with the practice of Islam. Part of that incentive, in fact, is that the hadith of the Prophet that whoever seeks knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that seeking of knowledge, makes a path for them easy to paradise. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَخَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا لِلْجَنَّةِ. So that's a very beautiful incentive as always. And on that, Imam Ahmad, as an example, would say that there is nothing that I find equal to studying Islam in terms of doing a good deed. This is nothing better, in my opinion, than doing that. So, alhamdulillah, those of us who are here, we are the few, but the ones who are doing a good job, going towards paradise. I would request, maybe there's people who are still here who did that, but to not turn the microphone off. If you think you turn the microphone off will stop us from having class, you are mistaken, because we will turn it on and have the class. Okay, so I don't understand what the thought process is. Kindly refrain from doing that, because it has happened more than a few times. Okay, and it's not appreciated. طيب, let's go into talking about the chapter of what's it called? Hayd. Chapter of menstruation. I'm just flipping to the book here. There it is. This, we started the discussion last time. Last time was part one, and we spoke about briefly that there were three basic types of bleeding that happens to a woman. Number one is called Hayd, which is menstruation. Number two, which we said was classified as postpartum bleeding, which is after a baby is born, that was called nifas. And number three is called istihada, right? Bleeding that is irregular bleeding, and it has the blood has a different smell, a different appearance, and even a different texture. So all three of these are distinctly different in their causes, but the rulings are often the same. So for example, the ruling of menstruation is the same as the ruling of nifas, postpartum bleeding. The first two have the same rulings, which is the hadith that we covered, which is فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّوْمِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ, which is to not pray and not fast. Those two things are, you know, impermissible, and fasting has to be made up. So if a sister is in her period in Ramadan, she has to make up the fast. If a sister is in her postpartum bleeding in Ramadan, she has to make up those fasts afterwards. Okay, so that's the idea. Also, what we discussed was the things that were impermissible for somebody to do in that situation was they're not allowed to have intercourse. Al-wat'u fi al-farj. That's not permissible, because it is something that the, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly prohibits in the Quran. He says in Surah number 2, Surah Baqarah, فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ, stay away from them in terms of intercourse in their times of menstruation. Okay, those are the main elements here. In terms, that's the recap of what we covered last time. Today we'll talk about the third type of blood, which is istihada. The blood that is not, that is irregular bleeding. That's how you could translate that. It's irregular bleeding. Let's read the book, the hadith in the chapter, and that will give us a good base to go off of. The first hadith in the chapter narrates that a sahabiyah, a female sahabi by the name of Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh, came and asked the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, "Inni ustahadu فلا أطهر أفأضع الصلاة." She said that I see that I bleed a lot, and of course their bleeding is that this is something that comes from, you know, she can't tell that apart, you know, right away. So she, in her mind, thinks that she is permanently in a state of being a lady who is menstruating. Okay, so now she's wondering, should I not pray ever? فَأَضَعُ الصَّلَاةَ. So the messenger said, لَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عِرْقٌ وَلَكِنْ دَعِي الصَّلَاةَ قَدْرَ الْأَيَّامِ الَّتِي كُنْتِ تَحِيضِينَ فِيهَا ثُمَّ اغْتَسِلِي وَصَلِّي. And another narration, he says, لَيْسَتْ بِالْحَيْضَ فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَتِ الْحَيْضَ فَاتْرُكِ الصَّلَاةَ فِيهَا فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ قَدْرُهَا فَاغْسِلِي عَنْكِ الدَّمَ وَصَلِّي. Very interesting. The messenger tells her, that is not menstruation. What you see after your period is not menstruation. So that is inna dhalika irqun, that is blood that is coming from the vein. And that's an important distinction, that the menstruation, the blood of menstruation, is not from the vein. It is a type of a cleanup process that is natural. It's still blood, but it's not from the vein necessarily. It's not like a vein that's bleeding. Whereas mustahada or istihada, more precisely, is from the vein itself, and it is defined as such because the texture of it is different. The smell of it is not the smell of the menstruating blood. It doesn't have clots. It is the color of blood that is from the vein, which is, you know, red and maroon, compared to a deep darkish black and yellowish color that is of the menstruating blood. So it is distinctly different in color, its smell, and also in its appearance and its texture. So the messenger specifies that inna dhalika irqun, that is perhaps a vein that's in in the vaginal area of the woman. So it is not menstruation. So what you should do is leave prayer during the times of menstruation. دَعِي الصَّلَاةَ قَدْرَ أَيَّامِ الَّتِي كُنْتِ تَحِيدِنَ فِيهَا. Okay, that's step one. The times you know you are in your period, you don't pray that time. Okay, then once your time has passed, but you still have this blood that's not the menstruating blood, at that point you should take a bath or take a shower, al-ghusl, and then after that you should pray. Alright, that is the first hadith that we find in this chapter. We'll recap the whole thing afterwards. Let's read the hadith first quickly. The second hadith is from Habiba radiallahu anha, who had this situation that she would have consistent/irregular bleeding. And consistent means that it's not 24/7 she's losing blood, but you know, every day she sees a little bit of blood coming out from her. Okay, if you are consistently bleeding, you will probably die. So, she would say, "Ustuhidat sab'a sinin." For 7 straight years, she had this. Subhanallah, this was a big test from Allah Subhanahu for her. Keep in mind, this is before the Industrial Revolution, so they did not have the pads and the tampons that are available today. Okay, what they would do is they would take balls of cotton or a cloth, and that would serve as the pad, and then they would tie it around, and the tying it would serve as the mechanism to hold it up. And quite often, if a sister had a situation where she would, you know, have very heavy periods or heavy bleeding, she would sit in like a small bowl to contain the overflow of blood. Now this is something that's not known to us, because we have, you know, the sisters using pads and all these things. I have to sometimes buy pads for, you know, my wife, and it's always awkward to check out at the counter. I always feel really weird. And I tell her, I'm ordering off Amazon, I'm not going to Shoppers and buying this, okay? I will not do this anymore. But imagine if you don't have that luxury, right? And in parts of the world, people don't have this luxury, by the way, right? In many parts of the world, this is still not an accessible solution, and there's different things that happen in that situation. The point being, before the Industrial Revolution, it was tough if you had this situation as Habiba had, radiallahu anha. So 7 years she's going through this, so she asked the Messenger, what do I do, right, in this situation? فَأَمَرَهَا. So she was commanded, or he commanded her, أَن تَغْتَسِلَ فَقَالَ هَذَا عِرْقٌ قالت فكانت تغتسل لكل صلاة.
Okay.
So he said to her, this is blood from your vein. You're not menstruating for 7 straight years. So it was told to her to take a bath and then pray. Now, we'll talk about one specific thing here. She is taking a shower every time she prays. Okay? Habiba, this is interesting. She would do this every single time. She would take a shower every single time and pray. The scholars actually don't make that a condition. We'll discuss why in a little bit. The third hadith is Aisha says, I would take a shower or a bath. كنت أغتسل أنا ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من إناء واحد كلانا جنب وكان يأمرني فأتزل فيباشرني وأنا حائض. Okay, very beautiful hadith of Aisha giving us a glimpse of the life of the Prophet. وكان يخرج رأسه إلي وهو معتكف فأغسله وأنا حائض. She says that me and the messenger would take a bath from the same container and both of us would be in a state of janaba. Okay, like after a person has had relations, that is the situation that they will be in, and they would take a bath together. Number one. Number two, when she would be in her period, they would still take a bath together from the same pot of water. Okay, in this situation, يأمرني كان يأمرني فأتزر فيباشرني. So he would command me, and I would, basically tie my izar, which is the cloth that goes, it's like pants or underwear or undergarments, all of that could be considered that. And then at that point, he would do that. And فَيُبَاشِرُنِي, he would hug me. Okay, so this is something that Aisha is telling us from very personal, her very personal life. These are not easy to share details, right? But our mother Aisha is sharing these with us so we know what are the etiquettes, what is out of bounds and what is, within the bounds of Islam. Okay? And what she is teaching us, radiallahu anha, that's why she's our mother, right? And that's why we love her so much. Because through her, we know all these things. And these are not easy to share. Like, these are personal moments. Nobody wants to tell about their personal life to anybody. But she's telling us about the intimacy that she enjoyed with the messenger. She would be with him and they would take a shower together. Okay? That's in normal circumstances. In the circumstances where she is in her period, they would still enjoy the same type of intimacy. The only thing that they wouldn't do is the actual act of intercourse. And the messenger would provide her with the comfort and the love, even in that situation, by embracing her, by showing his love to her. And this is so beautiful. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Like, this is so beautiful from the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he takes care of the feelings of his wife and goes out of his way to show his love for his wife in that situation that she is in. And this is meant to be, she's mentioning, this is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, by the way. It's not like some random hadith in some random book. This is both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim to teach us that this is the sunnah of the Messenger with our spouses. The Messenger said, the best of you are those who are the best to their family, meaning the best of their spouses. So this is part of that, that love and affection that we should be showing. And there is no age limit to love. Like, you should be doing this. Like, nah, I'm old man, I can't do this. It's not like that. It's always right like that. It's always like that. So it's a very beautiful thing we learn from the Sunnah of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Also, he would be sitting in the masjid. Now, the masjid of the Prophet and the house of the Prophet are basically like that door. So imagine that, right? That would be, if this is the masjid, the door, you open the door and then behind it is his house. So awesome. That's how it used to be. So he would be in the masjid and then he would basically open the door, but instead of him leaving the masjid, he would just lean back into his home and lean into the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay, subhanallah. That's so, so romantic, man. It's amazing, mashallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And he was in this situation because he was making i'tikaf. He was in the masjid. Didn't want to leave the masjid because he's making i'tikaf. But he still wants to, be with his wife. So what does he do? He puts his head in her lap. And, in other narrations, he's reciting Quran and whatnot. And he's doing that even when she is menstruating or on a haid, to show us that there is, you know, the relationship between a husband and a wife should remain full of love throughout the circumstances that the man is going through, right? He is making itikaf. That shouldn't mean that you have completely abandoned your family. If there's an opportunity to somehow keep, you know, some relations, the messenger had the idea, the option of his home being right next door, right? You do that. If a sister is in her period, there is still love that's shown to her, right? When she's not in her period, there's other ways of engaging and expressing your love. That is the way of the Prophet ﷺ. And we have to incorporate that in our lives. It's very important. We have, unfortunately, situations where I get a phone call or I get like a text message, oh, I need to talk to you about my marriage. This happened in my marriage. And, you know, at that point, it's a lot of times it's too late at that point, right? You never want to say it's, you know, beyond hope. But a lot of times when you hear the situation, you're like, subhanAllah, what can we do to like fix the situation? But, and if you were to do like a tracing of how it got so bad, how did your situation escalate to the point where it's at this level now, where it's barely a marriage, a lot of it goes back to after a certain point of time, there is no expression of love anymore, right? There's no expression of love. Whereas what we learn from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is we always express our loves to our spouses consistently. And that's the foundation of a beautiful marriage. Like Allah says in the Quran, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He put in your hearts the love and mercy. Those two things together, that's something that always goes through. Second last hadith is the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would, كَانَ يَتَّكِيُ فِي حِجْرِي فَيَقْرَوَ الْقُرْآنَ وَأَنَا حَائِضٍ. Same thing, he would lie in her lap. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would lie in the lap of Aisha and he would recite Quran while he's lying in her lap, and Aisha would be in a situation that she is menstruating. To show again what kind of relationships we can enjoy and what kind of life we should have with our spouses. The last hadith we already talked about, when these girl came to Aisha and asked her, why is it that we are fasting or not praying and not fasting but making up the fast? And then she explained why, because that's what the Messenger told us to do. So those are all the ahadith in the chapter. Now let us quickly go through the recap of the issue of istihala, right? The irregular bleeding, what is it in terms of the situation? The situation is that it is not menstruation, okay? It could be concurrently happening with menstruation, right? This is the human body. It's not like a buzzer goes on and then there's a menstruation and the buzzer goes on and then there is, you know, a different type of blood. Sometimes stuff is mixed up and it gets difficult to differentiate between one and the other. But the key difference is that this is a type of blood that does not have the features of the blood of menstruation. That's the key differentiator, okay? And in this situation, salah and fasting are forbidden or not forbidden? Not forbidden. You have to pray and you have to fast, okay? Now, if a sister is, you know, have experiencing irregular bleeding, okay, how can she keep her wudu? Well, the answer to that question is, you should, فَإِذَا أَقْبَلَتِ الْحَيْضَ فَإِذَا أَدْبَرَتْ فَغْسِلِي أَنْكِ الدَّمْ وَصَلِّي. Wash the private parts, make wudu, and pray. So that is the step-by-step, sorry, I don't know why there's so much echo, subhanAllah. That's the step-by-step approach for a sister who is in the state of istihada. She is to pray, she is to fast, but at the time of the prayer, she must, if she sees there is blood, she must check if there's blood, she should wash it, and then make wudu and pray, okay? In terms of relations between a husband and wife, there is no problem. A husband and wife can have intercourse at this point, if of course it is not harmful for the sister, you know, physically, if it doesn't hurt her and whatnot. One interesting thing here is there's three categories of this, and I think we should talk about this and we'll conclude with that. Is that if a sister has, and this is a good summary of everything, she has a regular period, like every month she has a regular period, okay, then that, and she knows regularly she's 6 or 7 days, okay, so then she would, and then her bleeding around the fifth day becomes, you know, mixed with her menstruation blood, right? So now for 7 days she would sit and as if that she isn't praying, right? She would assume that 7 days she's menstruating, no fasting, no praying. After that, she would take a shower and then start to pray. And every single time she would have to pray, she would check if there's blood, wash it, make wudu, and pray. Okay, that's the one who has a very clear habit of her period. The other situation is the sister does not have a clear habit. Her period is irregular. This happens a lot to sisters, who their period is not, you know, very precise. But she's able to differentiate clearly by the characteristic of the blood. Okay, so for her, as soon as she sees that the blood is of the menstruating type, she stops praying. She sees that the blood is of the istihada type, she starts praying again. Okay, lastly, or the last situation is, she does not have a regular habit and she can't tell it apart. Okay, so this sister is in a lot of trouble because she doesn't know what she's in, right? She doesn't know if it's her period, if it's istihada. She doesn't know, okay? So for her, she should estimate, okay? فَتَجْدِسُ غَالِبَ الْحَيْدِ سِتَّنْ أَوْ سَبْعًا. She should pick, so she starts seeing some blood, 6 days, assume she's in her period, okay? If the blood completely stops, that means you start praying again. But you see irregular bleeding for 6 or 7 days, assume it's your menstruating period. Then after that, any other blood can be considered as istihada. And then she takes, she washes herself, make wudu, and prays. That's the basic three situations. Lastly, the situation that of Habiba radiallahu anha, who would take a shower every single time. And this is a question. How come, you know, the messenger says one thing and the scholars are apparently saying something else? Right? This is something some people have a problem with. Well, I don't understand how that could happen, where the Prophet is saying one thing and the scholars are saying something that seems to contradict it. Well, there's explanations for everything. And in this situation, what you have is Habiba. She was told by the Messenger of Allah وسلم, that the sister who was Habi, who was in menstruation, or she would bleed for 7 years, she was told Amaraha an taghtasil. Okay? فَكَانَتْ تَغْتَسِلْ لِكُلِّ صَلَاةِ. She was told to take a shower. So she would take a shower for every single prayer and pray. Okay, now the fuqaha explained this. That is her own ijtihad. That's her own line of reasoning. Because no other sahabiya did that. No other sahabiya who was in a situation where it's her irregular bleeding, no one of them would take a shower for every single prayer. They would make wudu for every single prayer, but not take a shower for every single prayer. And also the messenger said that in other parts, فَغْسِلِي عَنْكِ الدَّمْ وَصَلِّي. Other narrations is wash the blood and pray. Okay, so when you have, this is how we understand differences of opinion, right? One person takes it and implements it every single time. The other says, no, let's look at everybody's practice as a community. And then we accept that as the opinion. And that is what the majority of scholars say. Wallahu ta'ala. So with that, inshallah, we will conclude. It was a interesting and sticky topic. No pun intended, but we will now go into afterwards next week, inshallah, the book of Salah, and we'll start the actual discussion of Salah. We'll start with the timings of Salah, which are always very fascinating and very interesting, inshallah. So with that, we will stop. Jazakallah khair, everybody, for participating and being a part of this. We have the people who want to go upstairs and watch the All-Star game, so we will do that as well, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Yeah. Yeah, all right. I'll end the broadcast, inshallah. Oh, just one thing, sorry. Quick.
It was the internet, sorry. The internet. It was like you're draining the internet.
Oh, am I?
They're streaming.
All right, exactly. One thing, sorry, is next week I'm not here because I'll be in Houston for the Anja conference. I am not speaking at the Anja conference. That's the bigger mashayikh. I'm just there to take notes and learn from them, inshallah. So we will start. Next week we will not have the halaqa, and then we'll have it inshallah in March. Once the time changes, then we'll be after Maghrib, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah. So only one more week, basically, and then after that will be after Maghrib. Jazakallah khair. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.